So it's so powerful because this is who we are. This is who we are. We are the light of the earth, the salt of the earth. Amen. That's who. He didn't say be that. He said you are that. Yeah. You're already there. If you're in Christ, you're already there.
Amen.
If you're in Christ, you're already there. You are the light of the world. You don't have to like work up to it. Okay.
Yeah,
you have been totally transformed from the inside out. When you walk out, people are going, oh, oh, oh. You know, that's true. Well, they don't seem to be. Well, forget seem to be. You got to walk according to what God has already said in His Word, what He promised in His Word. What He did already from the foundation of the world is He transformed you. And when we come into the kingdom of God by believing the gospel, He transforms and changes us.
Amen.
That's who we are. See, the problem with the church is they keep coming on Sunday morning thinking they're supposed to get something they've already got. The pastor's supposed to be telling you what you've already got and just let you go off there and shine. Let you go off there and salt the world. That's who you are and that's what you're doing. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So good. So good. Yes, Dan? Dan was in kind of dire straits in the natural, but God has delivered him from that COVID thing. Amen.
Yeah, you know, you think you're about there at the, maybe the fifth, sixth, seventh day, and it was another 7 to 9 days or so.
Wow.
For me to, because my strength and energy was just gone.
It's, yeah.
And it's so unusual, and you know, you begin to wonder, well, are you going to get back to where you were? But the experience was really deepening because I recognized you better stop. You better just lay and just rest. And in the context of that, there was much communing between me and Father and the relationship. And the relationship was nurtured, and the relationship was that was my... That was my go-to. That was my, he was my everything. He was my. We were going to push through this. So you know, it's been a rich growth time, and another recognition that everything He did, coming to Earth, not my will but Thine be done, dying, and the power of Father God resurrecting Him. It's not that that's just interesting. It's essential.
Hmm.
But it was merely an avenue to establish what was really essential.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a moment-by-moment walk.
Yes.
That's a, you're my Lord, Savior, lover, friend. You're my everything. If He hadn't done this, which is crucial, then His intent to live in each of His kids to the day they die could not have happened.
Mm-hmm.
It would not have, God would not, that was not possible, unless so I got a little more clarity as to the full intent of what He wants, which is a intimate moment by moment. Father, I love you. Do you love you? Oh, it's nothing complex. So then Chad and I sometimes laugh about the fact that we really don't like to read many books that are anything younger than 50 years old.
Yeah.
And he's got a great appreciation for Macintosh, which I have as well. And Macintosh had any number of quotes, which pretty much, oh, okay, yeah, that's pretty much on target. So the one I ran across the other day was, there is nothing in all the world that is so precious to God, our Father, as a heart that in any measure appreciates Christ. Let us never forget this.
Amen.
Any,
mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Any orientation.
Mm-hmm.
That just, there's nothing in all the world, because it's so unusual.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Most believers don't think that way.
Yeah.
They're not oriented that way. But that kind of grabbed me.
Yeah. Say it again.
There's nothing in all the world that is so precious to God as a heart that in any measure appreciates Christ.
Amen. Good.
Let's not forget.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank the Lord.
Glory to God.
We're not the only people who have this message.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Like
yeah.
Like the in any measure.
Yes. But to find... a place that has the that message.
That's very special.
It is very special. I mean, they're kind of hiding out in various places, you know. And so, but this is what the world needs to hear, and have an opportunity to be in a place where they can hear that, where we can bring people, you know, where we can bring people to hear that message, you know. And so, you know, wherever we end up, pardon?
Or take it to them.
Or take it to them, absolutely.
Because we have it.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're a little lunch kit. You're a little lunch pail, you know. Taking it wherever you go. That's why, you know, Jesus said go. He didn't say come. He said go. He said go ye into all the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to everybody. You know, he that believeth shall and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not going to make it, shall be damned. The Bible says, Scripture says, he that believeth not shall be damned and condemned to death. Well, praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Suffering. Oh, good. Yes. Hallelujah. Suffering. Aren't you glad you came today? As Pastor Jim would say, aren't you glad you came today? Amen. Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you that you are always speaking to our hearts, our renewed hearts, our brand new, living, alive hearts. And those hearts inform our unrenewed mind. Our hearts actually inform our mind, thank you, that we might be transformed and changed from the inside out. Though our bodies perish day by day, the inward man is being renewed day by day. So we thank you for that. We thank you for every day when we think we don't feel like we're being renewed. We feel like we're just going lower and lower and lower. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie from the enemy. That is a lie to your mind. It says you're on the way down. No, I am always triumphant. Because Jesus Christ lives in me.
Right.
I am always triumphant. Everybody with a bad, having a bad day, having a bad life, I am always triumphant through Him who loved me, loves me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah, just changing your mind, amen. Changing your mind. Your mind needs to be changed, doesn't it? Your mind is silly. Your mind believes everything that's going on around it. You know, it doesn't make sense. You know, I mean, that's why they have television. You know, so you'll believe something else. I mean, they changed it from the 60s to the 70s to the 80s to the 90s to the 2000s, now to the 2010s, now to the 2020s. Boy, we've had TV for a long time. Amen. And it's changed, hasn't it? Amen. And it's the church, you know, here. Shh. I'm listening. I'm being changed. I'm being changed from one degree of hell to another. Amen. You know, they're making it, you know, Star Trek used to be great. Now Star Trek, you got, you know, all kinds of LGBT people in it. And just all kinds of other opportunities for wickedness and sin. Amen? How many know they had all that sin back in the 60s? But now they're advertising it. Now they're putting it. It was here then. It's just now it's becoming, this is who we are. It's like over in Genesis when he says every man did what was right in his own eye. Every act of every man, the thought of every man was only evil continually. You thought that was today. Well, it's not. It was then. That's why you remember there was a flood thing, right? Remember there was a flood, you know, and God just wiped out everything, saved eight people, the eight best people. Going to start over, eight best people. It's not like God was dumb. He knew he had a plan. But to continue the plan, you had to slow down the degradation. You had to slow down the downhill slide. So you get rid of millions and you just start out with eight and try it again. And just wait until Jesus comes, because you have a plan. You have a plan to bring to pass the salvation of man. So, the thought of every man was only evil continually. So, don't be surprised that the thought of every man, my gosh, the internet is so horrible. Go, really? You're kidding me, right? You know, so with TV, movies, you know. First of all, you get people enjoying watching it, used to watching it. You get people in the habit. Let's get people in the habit of watching, you know. And once you're in the habit of watching, then you become the frog in the pot, right? Well, I got to keep watching. You know, might miss something. You might miss something. I'm still that way. You know, you might miss that. Don't miss that episode. You know, you might miss something. Might miss part of the storyline. Well, you know what? It's probably better if you do.
Right.
It's probably better if you do miss that storyline. Amen. So, yeah, we had to shut Janet down. No,
this part of it, I'm good. Yep.
Glory to God. And so what the enemy does in all things, forget television, movies, you know, in all things, the enemy does the frog in the pot thing. He just kind of gets you used to it, and here you go. And you're used to the transformation of society into sin and wickedness, and it though you don't participate perhaps humanly and physically, your thoughts are inundated by these things. And so what he wants to do is he wants our minds to be changed and renewed, right? He wants us to be changed and renewed by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. The Holy Spirit is transforming and changing me the other way. You know, he's changing me into his image. You're being changed into the image of God. Maybe you're how old are you? 17?
18.
8? Whoa! Slow down. How old are you, Brazos?
11.
She had to think.
She just had a birthday.
Oh, she did? Okay, congratulations.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. When was it?
27th? Of December.
Of December. Well, that's a month ago. That's almost a month old.
Yeah.
All right. So we got these guys, and when they're 17 and 11, I mean, minds full of, you know, Rush Limbaugh used to call it minds full of mush. You know, they're ready to receive. That's why they got them in school, you know. And so there, right now you guys have to recognize, and thankfully you're, you know, under the exposure to the Word of God and Jesus Christ and the power of God, and thankfully that can transform you and kind of, I don't want to use the verb vaccinate, it's kind of a bad connotation these days, but can prevent you from being overwhelmed by the work of the enemy. And this is the same thing is true. This Word of God is the best vaccination you got. Amen? It'll transform your mind. It'll transform your body. It'll change you. That Word of God, it changes you from one degree of glory to the next. It's changing me. I'm new. I'm new. I'm newer. You know, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. 2 Corinthians, 4:17 is... I'm changed into a new creation. And that new creation is growing. Amen? Over here in 1 Peter chapter 4, before I just go off the deep end. For as much then, so having said what we said before, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us, since he has suffered for us in the flesh, he has taken all of our suffering. He's taken all of our sins upon his own body. Bore them in his own body on the tree. You know, we read that. He's taken all of our sins and taken them into his own body on the tree. On the cross. Since Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. Arm yourselves with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You've died to sin. Just like Jesus died, you have died. when you suffer in the flesh. Now, what is suffering in the flesh? Is that being tortured, you know, or is it your flesh man suffering? It's your flesh man suffering. We have all kinds of places in the scriptures that talks about God heals the sick, heals the leper, and redeems things. But our suffering is in this world. Just like I said with respect to watching these programs, you become the all of these things are transforming the culture. We're so used to watching it and sitting there and behaving ourselves. Shh, don't. Shh, I'm watching. Don't want to miss a word. Is we're ready to, we're being transformed into the image of this world. I mean, every message on every news channel is the message of this world, the message of COVID, the message of what you must do. I was in Washington, D.C. Bunny Pounds and Shelley, and because we're board members on Christians Engaged, and we went up to the March for Life up in Washington this past few days. No, cold. It's 19 degrees and you're standing there on the mall. Your feet are two rocks of ice, you know, waiting for these people who've got heaters on them on the stage to speak, you know. And then you're walking down to the Capitol, to the Supreme Court, sorry. Anyway, so we're there. And changing those minds. What was I talking about? I don't even know why how I got started on that. That's how preaching is. Suffering you just mess up. So we were suffering in the flesh. And we went up there. And, oh, we were talking about the COVID thing.
Yeah.
Everywhere you went, this mayor has decided that you're going to have a vaccine. Or you're not going to eat. Okay. Or you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to do anything. So I wrote up my religious exemption. I wrote it myself. A pastor. I wrote it myself. So, and had one for Bunny. Had one. Now Shelley had already had the vaccine because her kid, her son wouldn't let her come see her grandkids if she hadn't had it. So she had to go. She had to decide to suffer in the flesh. So we go up there. Oh, by the way, here in my wallet, I have what looks like a pregnancy test, but it's not. It's negative, which is admirable. This is a CVS COVID test, and it's negative. So we hand them our exemption and our COVID test that we picked up at CVS, and you know, it's hilarious. This has to be within 24 hours.
Wow.
I can pass it around, and you can see that there's absolutely no way that you could know that it's within 24 hours. This could have been a month ago.
Yes.
And certainly 5 or 6 days ago. You know, I'm still carrying it around. I might need it. You know, after all, it is negative. So all I'm saying to you is that all of these things, it's man, they're putting you in a box and commanding you. And then are you obeying? You know, are you obeying everything? You know, whether it's better to obey you or God, judge ye. The apostles told the authorities when they told them, stop preaching in that name. It's driving them crazy. You know, it drives people crazy when you're preaching the name of Jesus. Because they don't believe, what they believe is they have got it all handled. Well, they don't have it all handled. They need what you have. They need your, what you have in your heart. Your provision. So arm yourselves. I'm not saying pick up your Glock. That's not what I'm saying. Arm yourselves.
Holy cow.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Glad I wasn't working.
That wasn't an earthquake, was it?
No.
Something
dropped. Arm yourselves likewise with this same mind. That you have suffered in the flesh. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. If you have suffered in the flesh, you have ceased from sin. I've ceased from sin. Well, it doesn't look like it. It looks like you're just in it. No, I have suffered in the flesh. That's it. My flesh is receiving the gospel of Jesus. I am dead to sin. crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified, I am. Arm yourself with this, same mind. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I'm dead, but I'm living. I'm dead, but I'm living. Go figure, what's that? Yeah, that's weird. How could I do that? No, because you are dead to this world. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And so therefore, every single day, I am living in this new life. Every single day, I wake up in this flesh body. And some days it moves slower than others, apparently. But I don't believe it. I'm not going to receive it. I'm going to receive the fact that my knee acted weird today. You know, I'm not going to receive that. I'm going to receive the fact that my body is whole. My body is healed. What if it never gets whole and healed? I'm still going to believe it. Amen. I'm still going to believe it. What if I ended up having to go to the hospital because I was falling over in all kinds of crazy ways? I'm still believing that what God said He is able to perform. That's what Abraham believed. Over in Romans chapter 4, he said what Paul relates, Abraham, he said he was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform. And so therefore he considered not his own body now dead, obviously, apparently looking at it and feeling it. His own body he considered not. You have to work on that, don't you, some days? To suffer in the flesh. It's suffering in the flesh to not believe your body. It's suffering in this flesh, the flesh of your mind, the flesh of your head, the flesh of everything that has been on the TV, of everything that has been preached to you from this world. That's suffering in the flesh because everybody else is hating you because of it. Let's read about it. That he should know, okay, he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You begin to walk in the flesh, you are ceasing from sin because you're no longer believing the lies of the world. You are now believing what God said. You're believing what God, you're being changed from this world's mind to the mind of heaven. I'm changed from this mind because living in this world is so easy to slide in. It's so easy to stay there. People who are born again, especially later, you know, I was born again rather young, you know, before I acted on a bunch of sin. I was raised and actually kind of stuck to it, you know, I sinned, but I just stuck to generally good behavior. Generally good. I lied. Yes, generally good behavior, you know, never getting caught, you know. But inside, like Jim, you know, inside, you're sinning like, you know, extraordinarily. But there's one thing about sinning outwardly is that there are consequences that just come along with it, okay? You know, God is not standing by with a 2x4. It's the world that stands by with the 2x4. And when you step out, and the encouragement is, hey, come on along, come on, bam. You know, I mean, all of a sudden now you're having babies that you shouldn't be having. All of a sudden you're dying from you have an addiction that the enemy wanted you to have because you just take this little pill, you're just going to feel good. You know, just going to make you feel good because that guy's making money. So he doesn't care what you end up with. He's just gonna make his money and let you just die laying in the street. He doesn't care about you. Only God cares about you. Only God cares about you. Nobody in the world cares about you. Maybe your mama. You know, she loves you. Yeah, most of the time. But even mamas and daddies. You know, we heard stories at that march the other day. You know, some little girl, you know, that her family, none of her, she got kicked out, got pregnant, got kicked out of the house. I can't imagine kicking my daughter out of the house for that. You know, well, you're not a real Christian. You should kick her out, you know. No, Jesus didn't kick me out. I'm not going to kick her out. You know, Danny had that. Danny had that happen. You know, Shannon, you know. And he loved his daughter because she's a sinner. God loves sinners. How many know God loves sinners? Amen? That's why he sent Jesus. The Bible said that. The only scripture anybody knows. John 3:16 is on the bottom of the In-N-Out cup. Did y'all know that? It's real. It's in there. It's in there. In the little bottom rim at In-N-Out, inside the bottom rim of the little cup. It's John 3:16, not the whole scripture, it's the reference. It says John 3:16. So there you go. All right. Come to church. Come to church. You'll learn stuff. Amen. So, but what God's doing is he's making you into his image. Amen. And you are a declaration of his truth. Now, so he said, he that suffered, so you suffer in the flesh and you're ceasing from sin. It's a process, isn't it? That he no longer, and here's furthermore what it looks like, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. It's you being changed. As you suffer in the flesh and no longer agreeing with what the world decides, you know, you're going to do, right? Amen. Because again, even good Christians, you know, are busy still watching the stuff. I am. Yeah, I've done the same thing. You know, that's a great storyline. But the problem is, there's too much trash in it, right? There's too much trash in it. You know, it's like the brownies with the poop in them. You know, you're going to. It just got a little bit. Here, would you like one?
No.
You know, so it says that you no longer should, meaning will. The should is not no, shaking the finger. The should is, here's the logic, Mr. Scientist, here's the logical transformation when all these things are applied to a subject. Here's what that you should do this. We're convinced and we are have experienced that once this happens, unless something totally out of sync is happening. Okay? So this is changing you, right? That he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And that, or look at Romans 7 and 8. If you go back, you can write down Romans 7 and 8, go back and read it. Because Paul talks about what it is to be living in the flesh, and you have this flesh thing going on, and you're looking at it, and you're looking in the mirror going, oh, what's going on? And then Romans 8 tells you what's going on, is that you're changed. It's at the end of Romans 7, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? He said, I thank my God through my Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, with my mind, and you have an understanding. With my mind, I'm serving my unrenewed mind, I'm serving the devil. But with my heart, I'm walking with Jesus. And then it begins in Romans 8 to talk about that the distinction between the flesh person and the spirit person. All right, there is a distinction between your spirit person and your flesh person. You are being changed, but you are fully redeemed. Listen, you are fully redeemed in your heart as a man or woman of God. You are fully redeemed in your heart. When Jesus comes, you're going with it. All right. So when Jesus comes, you're going with him. That he should no longer live in the his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in these lusts. Excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange, listen, that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So what happened to you? You used to hang with us. I mean, you got people who, what's wrong with you? I mean, we're just having fun. We're just watching TV. You know, we're just doing worse and worse and worse and worse reckless things, you know. Or maybe not. Maybe you're not of them. Maybe you're not of them. But what do you allow? What do I allow? Lord, deliver me from sin, from what I allow. Deliver me from what I allow. Because number one, it's destroying my ability to witness, to be a witness, to walk in the joy of the Lord. It's destroying my ability to walk in the joy of the Lord. Amen. It makes a mess of your joy. Sin, allowing sin, or allowing those things that the enemy says Well, that, you know, God says, yeah, why don't you just kind of, you know, I'm taking that desire away. And you're going, no, don't do it. Don't take it away. Because it's something I enjoy. Now, so what he's doing, though, is bringing you more and more into his presence. And you are no longer desiring. Anybody, how many has experienced that? You've no longer desire the things that you used to desire. You no longer have a desire for those things because God has taken them. Because as his word gets more and more in you, he changes you. Somebody want to turn down that air heater?
I don't think we can.
Okay.
I'll work on it.
Because it was cold, but now it's cold, but now it's getting a little bit warm in here. Amen. Wherein they think it strange that you don't run with them. Come on, run with us. Who shall give account, say, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. Now, you remember back over here in in the previous chapter, he said, by which he also went in verse 19, he said he went and preached to the ones that are in prison, the souls in prison, right? Okay, and I explained that I believe that that has to do with Jesus, you know, going to paradise and also Sheol, and the rich man, you remember the rich man Lazarus? Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham? No, you can't go over there, and nobody can come over here. And okay, so both the wicked and the righteous, you know, the righteous. The righteous are the people who believe in the promise of Abraham. That's who the righteous are. The righteous are not really righteous. The righteous are those who believe in the promise coming in the future. Or us, we're the ones who believe back to the promise of Jesus that he fulfilled on the cross. Okay? So both people are looking toward Jesus. The folks before Jesus, they were looking to the promise forward. We're looking backward to the promise. All right? So he went and preached to the spirits in prison. He said, hey, I made it. I'm here. I did it. It's happened. You're dead. If you believed in the promise, you're in. If you didn't believe in the promise, sorry. Same thing here. If you believe in the promise while you're still breathing, you're in. If you forsake it, no. I'm dying of COVID. Then no, I will not believe in Jesus. Well, you know, on the day of judgment, dude, sorry. You know, people believe in universalism. That, you know, well, we're all going to be saved. It's all going to come out and work out in the end. You know, everybody's going to be saved. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach it's all going to work out in the end and everybody's going to be saved in the end. It just doesn't teach that. He says the wicked will be destroyed. The wicked will be destroyed. Those who have forsaken God. Those who have hated God. And now he says, for this cause was the gospel preached. This is 1 Peter 4:6. The gospel was preached to them that are dead. It's referring back to that other verse in 19. That they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Okay? So in other words, these people are judged because they know and hear the truth. You know, when the judgment day comes, and you can refer up into Revelation, when the great white throne judgment comes, when the great white throne judgment comes, the dead and the living are small and great are raised to life to come to be judged. They're being judged by the gospel. They're being judged. What did you do with Jesus? I mean, if you can reach anybody by telling them whatever they do in this world is not going to make it. It's only a result of who they are. It has nothing to do with your eternal life or salvation. What you do in this life is a fruit of who you already are. If you are a wicked sinner, that's who you are. If you are a Christian, you're doing good. You would be doing good works because it's in you to do them. But what you do as far as faith in Jesus Christ, if you did a bunch of good works thinking it was you, you're in big trouble. You know, you don't do a bunch of good works and think you're going to make it to heaven. You're not. Please tell somebody that. You know, well, I've done this and this and this and this and this. You know, you're not going to make it. You know, and I know you know. You're not going to make it. And so what you want to do is tell people, hey, what you do or don't do doesn't matter. It's only believing in the gospel, the fact that you are worthy of death by nature, because of the sake of your nature. You are dead. And Jesus Christ came to give you life. If you believe in Him, stupid idea, if you believe in Him, you're born from above. You're immediately born from above. Not after you act better, not after you do better, but from the moment you believe. Karen can testify that. She's like, I didn't know nothing. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, is the Holy Spirit comes on the inside and He begins to clean house. He begins to change you. Melissa, He begins to change you. Amen? And just like, what a testimony. You know, I'm envious. See, I'm sinful. I'm envious of you guys who really were wicked. You know, I don't know that Karen was wicked.
Well, we have plenty.
Yeah, right.
We have plenty going on over here.
Do you have it? Yeah, oh, praise the Lord. That's good.
That's why we're God, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Got plenty of Jesus. All right, now. Now, so he says, listen. That they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. You're going to live according to God in the Spirit. So all of these folks that are getting preached to, the guys who were wicked, are being judged according to men because of their flesh, because they did not repent, they did not believe in the promise to come here. But if you believed, you're living according to God in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Listen, you live according to the Spirit. You live according to the Spirit. What's the Spirit? Yeah, we just read that there. We just read on that Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Jesus spent five chapters, talking about that the Holy Spirit was going to come. No, the disciples said, we don't want any Spirit. We want you. You know, Jesus said, no. If I don't leave, the Holy Spirit won't come. You want this Holy Spirit. You've got to have this guy. You know, I mean, Jesus had crowds, but He did not have more than 12 disciples. He had a big group following Him, but, I mean, they could not all be discipled. He's got a hold of the Holy Spirit, so Karen can disciple somebody, and Tom can disciple somebody, and Judah can disciple somebody, and Joe can disciple somebody. Because you got to have a lot of people filled with the same Holy Spirit that Jesus is. Because that's how you're going to do these works and greater works, is because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you and He's changing you. Amen? But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober. Watch unto prayer. And above all things that have fervent, unconditional love, charity. Unconditional love among yourselves. For charity covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. Amen? Unconditional love. We say charity. To me, it sounds like money. Yeah, just throw money at it. It'll cover a bunch of sins. No. Unconditional love. That is, whatever somebody does, and what they're doing, whatever somebody does out of the love of God, it's unconditional. It's unconditional love. That is, you are loving somebody, and whatever they have, whatever they've done, you still love them. You still love them. Well, I'll just never forgive, get over that. No, don't say that. It's not true. That's the old man speaking. I'll never get over that. No, don't say that. Just say, I love that person. That person, you love with the same love that God loves. You love with the same love that God loves. Oh, I mean, from the get-go, okay? You do. You absolutely do. You do not say you don't, because you do. This is true. I'm telling you what God has done in you. Amen? This is what Peter's telling me, is what God has done in me, you know. Above all your good, nice things you do, or things you don't do, the things I don't do. You know, a lot of people put credence in the things that they don't do. Well, I didn't do that, and I didn't do that, and I didn't do that. Aren't you proud of me? Not necessarily, because it wasn't you that didn't do it. It was me. It was me. The devil wants you to look at you, whether for good or bad. He's got you on both ends, doesn't he? When you do good, he's got you like puffed up. And then when you do bad, he's got you feeling guilty. So you, either way, you're like, it's all about you. It's all about what you have done or you what you did not do. This is how the world, this is how the church teaches, and the church teaches it. You know, do this, don't do that. So if you did it, you were proud, and if you didn't do it, you were guilty, and so you were all depressed. So, and then nothing gets done for the kingdom because you're not going around loving people, you're just going around depressed, right? Or proud, one or the other. You're just depressed or proud. Lord, deliver me from that. I want to be joyful, peaceful, restful. I want to have nothing, you know, over in Philippians chapter 4. So what does he tell you? Where'd it go? Philippians chapter 4. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise,
think
on these things. I want to think about all the bad stuff that's going on. By golly, things are so bad. Things are bad. Did you know how bad things are? They're just bad. I'm going to think about that today. I'm going to go to sleep thinking about that. No, don't go to sleep thinking about that. Go to sleep thinking about how the Holy Ghost has risen from risen you from the dead, and you're alive in Christ Jesus, and you got a word to preach to everybody who's there. Amen. That's so powerful. I'm going to take an aside here. When we look back at that first verse, it says, arm yourself with the same mind. Arm yourselves with the same mind that he that suffered in the flesh. All your sins are Jesus died for your sins. He suffered in his flesh unto death. You are suffering in the flesh, not unto death, not unto blood, but destroying the works of the flesh. Now see here, he says over here, in 1 Peter chapter 1:13, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Excuse me. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be renewed in the Ephesians chapter. So gird up the loins. That is, pull your robe up and pull your everything that's hanging down around your feet, keeping you from being able to run the race. And gird up. That is, tie everything slowing you down. Tie it down, and so you can move, and so you can and do the will of God. Ephesians 4:23 and 24 says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Change your mind. Your mind is being changed. Put on the new man, after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That new man is created. It's created in righteousness and true holiness. So you're being renewed in the spirit of your mind. The verse right before that said, "Putting off the old man." Here comes the old man. Hey, remember me? No. You just sit over there. You know, I'm not going to ask you to dance. You sit over there in that chair on the wall. You be a wallflower. I'm dancing with Jesus. I'm dancing with the Lord. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world. You can see this conforming coming on you. You know, like sitting there watching the movie. Sitting there watching the show. You know, be not conformed to this. Watching the news. Well, the news is important, right? Not if it's stupid news, not if it's propaganda, just telling you what people want you to hear, you know, and they don't provide the medicine, you know. Now you can say, well, they would tell me I'm propaganda, you know. Well, you're not allowing that good medicine to go out. Well, that's horse dewormer, you know. So you got all kinds of, you know, complaints going on. But we're not here to argue, amen. We're here to love, right? Amen. That's who we are. I am here to love you. You know, I've got so many folks in the political realm that, I mean, just people get angry. People are just angry. You know, we went to a straw poll thing. It was had the thing on your phone. You used to do them on paper, you know, do a straw poll for the primary candidates, who you think is going to win the thing. It's a big money fundraiser. Doesn't matter. Doesn't mean a thing. And so you have that, and the phone thing wasn't working, and it stands in line for about 30 minutes, and just people are... These are Christians, angry, so angry about it. How come that they can't do anything right? These are your people. Why are you so angry? These are your people, you know, and you're just irritated and angry. Anybody like that? No, don't raise your hand. If you are, we know it. Yeah, we went to the restaurant with so-and-so the other day down after church. Boy, I tell you what, that waitress messed up, and so-and-so was really upset, you know. I mean, yeah, she didn't even want to tip them, you know. Yeah, she wanted to take money from them, you know, get you to tip me because of your bad attitude, you know. So, but love one another, right? Amen. Just walk in love. Walk in love. You're the same way. You're the same way as that poor gal. You know, we were up there in those restaurants, and they didn't want to look at my religious exemption and a COVID test. They wanted to have business and serve food.
Right.
Don't be on that person. It's not their faith. And it's taking too long to get seated, you know. You know, and then you got everybody who's walking past. You got because everybody's having to show something. They're having to, here's my little vaccine card, you know. And so let it go. Worship God, love people. Jesus was just busy loving people. That's who you are, amen? But the thing is, that's who you are. I hope you know that's who you are.
Yeah.
That's who you are. When that other thing comes up, you know what that's called? And you put it, and you say, no. Because you see it. The Holy Spirit reveals it to you, unless you don't want to see it. You know, he said, don't be on that person like that. You know, that's righteous indignation, the devil said. No. He said, don't put be on that person like that. Love that person. They got a family. They got kids at home. They don't want to have to be doing this. He said, love them. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for letting us in your restaurant. Amen. So this is who you are. You are a lover of people. Everywhere you go, you just demonstrate the power and the love of God. Amen. These things don't move you. All of the trash and garbage in the world, whether it be evil or whether it be something cool, neat, wonderful, none of it moves you. You don't approve people or condemn people. You walk in perfect love. That's who you are. That's who you are. Now, well, Pastor, you're saying, I got to do this and God won't like me? No, see, that's the devil. That's the enemy trying to get in there. God always likes you, but what he wants to do is have an opportunity to work in you and through you. And I'll tell you, it'll change you. As you walk in love, it begins to change you continually. Amen? It's not like, oh, this is... Yeah, it starts out as suffering in the flesh because, I don't want to bless that person. I want to punch him. You know? Anybody want to be like that? I want to punch him. Joe, I know, is like that. Joe just wants to punch him, you know, because she's just like the rest, you know. But because there's that one thing that, you know, is going to get her goat, you know. Somebody at the grocery store is going to do something, you know. But she knows that walking in love is the answer, and that I, you know, and that she's changed, and the Holy Spirit lives in her. Yes.
You know, it reminds me of when we lost our company. Ago,
mm-hmm.
And Carl walked in the house and he said, well, the company is gone. And I immediately said, revenge is mine, saith the Lord.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God.
And
yes.
Carl said, and he didn't even know the Lord then, he said, those are pretty good words. And he never held any
thank the Lord.
In fact, they came to his funeral.
Yes.
So
precious.
Wow.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank the Lord. Amen. That's so powerful. That's so good. But he's continually changing us, isn't he? He's continually changing us. He's, you know, the power of God, of the power of the love of God. And nobody say, listen, it's a lie to believe that it's not the love of God doesn't reside on the inside of you. Romans 5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto me. Amen. So true. Above all things, have fervent love for yourselves and charity, and because love covers a multitude of sins. What that means is, of course, that, you know, love will cover. You're going to cover somebody. You're going to cover somebody's sins. Just like your sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus, you're covering somebody else's natural sins. Now, the only thing that covers their sins for eternity is for them to receive the gospel, right? But for you to love them and to not hold their sins against them, love covers a multitude of sins. In other words, I'm not going to just write that person off and hate them. Now, I may not be able to spend a lot of time with them because they don't like me either. But I'm not cursing them to my neighbors and friends. I am, in fact, praying for them, loving them. If I have an opportunity to share the gospel, and certainly praying for them, praying that they would have somebody come across their path who can reach them. Amen? Because they're sick of my face. You know, so, yes.
Quick comment. Booker T. Washington said, I will never allow a person to so demean my soul as to make me hate him.
Yes. Amen. Powerful. So good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. So demean my what? Soul. I will never allow a person to so demean my soul that I would ever hate them. Amen. Determined to walk in the Spirit. Scripture said, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. That's a funny scripture. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speaks, this is just talking about how you conduct yourself. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles or speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. Or like God or of God. Or, you know, if you're speaking, let it be the word of God coming out of you, not something else. Right? If any man minister, so speaking and then serving, ministering, let him do it as of the ability which God gives. Over in Romans chapter 12, teaching, giving, you know, serving. Let him do it with the ability that God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whether you're speaking or whether you're serving. It's all through the grace of God, the gift of the grace of God, to whom be praise and dominion forever. Amen. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened to you. That's happening today, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And it seems like there's a fiery trial that's going on today. And it seems like the separations are becoming greater and greater. Between godliness and ungodliness. I mean, like we talked about, you know, TV and movies and laws with respect to children and gender issues and changing what God made as male and female. Is this something else? All of these things. And many of us are hating. We hate the enemy. We love that person. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. See, we could also kind of grumble at it, you know, and say, well, I'm just suffering for Jesus. By golly, it's awful. No.
That's great.
Jesus went to the cross. Now, granted, he was, hey, God, if there's any way, can we get out of this? Can we do this some other way? If not, let's go. Let's go get this done. Rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. What? If you are reproached for Jesus, if somebody yells at you, swears at you, cusses at you because you love Jesus or because you're telling them about Him, tell them the gospel. Happy are you. Well, if there's a, he's not telling you to do something. It's saying, here's you. Happy are you. For the Spirit of glory, of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of. They curse him, curse Jesus. But on your part, he is glorified just because you're loving them in the midst of their cursing. God is glorified by your patience and your peace with them. God is, you know, when you respond, "But you dirty sinning, rocking, rotten sinner," you know, don't respond. Respond with grace, love, peace. Because what they have and what they say is nothing to you, is nothing on you. It doesn't hurt you, doesn't destroy you. Amen. And what I'm saying is here, it's not a lesson on, okay, act like this, don't act like that, as much as an encouragement that this is what the Holy Spirit produces and what your expectation is in your own heart and mind. Here's what the Holy Spirit produces on the inside of me. And I have, when I walk out into the world, I have that full expectation that the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, that what comes out of my mouth is not going to be, you know, defending myself, but honoring and worshiping God, so that somebody can have rest and peace, even in the midst of their hatred. It's cold. It colds a fire upon their head. Amen. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody. That's interesting. A busybody. In other men's matters. That could be a sermon. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief. Well, we know all these things. Or as an evildoer. Or as a busybody in other men's matters. A lot of people like to fix people. Right? A lot of people like to try to fix people. Don't fix people. Don't be a busybody. Love people. Pray people. Pray over people. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. Judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel be? So judgment is beginning in the house of God. And that judgment first is what you believe about what the Holy Spirit, what the gospel, what the Holy Spirit's done on the inside of you. That's the first judgment. The first judgment is, what's the Holy Spirit done on the inside of you? He's changed you. Amen? Receive the finished work of God. It won't be finished today, but it's finished today. It's finished on the inside. Amen? Judgment is, you've believed in the only begotten Son of God. That's the judgment. But judgment in actions and judgment in purposes is ongoing. Judgment is always happening. You know, when you do something, an action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Right? You know, it's the law of, what is it, Tom? What's the law?
Newton's third law of motion.
There you go. Newton, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You know, you punch somebody in the face, and if you don't punch them hard enough, they'll punch you back. So what's the lesson there? I don't know.
Sowing and reaping.
Yeah, sowing and reaping. That's it. For the time has come, judgment must begin in the house of God. Verse 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? What's up? What'll happen to them? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well doing, as to a faithful Creator. He's faithful. He's faithful. What He began, He's going to finish. What He began, He's going to finish. Amen. Now we're talking about in the flesh, in the natural. What He began, He's going to finish. So my suffering in the flesh, I declare that it's nothing. Even though if I lose all my money, if everything goes haywire, my suffering in the flesh, He's covered me in everything. He said He's going to meet all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I am fully persuaded that what God promised, He's able to perform. Not only me, but you. You are fully persuaded. Well, no, I'm not quite. No, you are. Just receive that word. Receive that word. Receive that word. I am fully persuaded. Talk about it to yourself. Speak to yourself. Is everything that God promised, I have. Because the enemy wants you to think, well, I'm still waiting on it. I'm looking at my watch, hoping it'll show up before the big bad boy comes by and takes it all the rest of it from me. No, no, no. You can never be destroyed because you're in Christ Jesus. Suffering in the flesh is proof of the good news of the gospel on the inside of you. That Jesus loved the whole world, and so do you. Amen. Amen. God is good.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's in me both to will it and to do it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.